We started last Wednesday night on the spiritual gifts in a series entitled The Gateway. Now, what we mean is this. When someone is filled with the Holy Spirit and the initial evidence, somebody say initial evidence. Not the only evidence, not the ending evidence, but the initial evidence. Some people feel like, okay, I've got it now. And then they stop. But it is not a goal to speak in tongues. It's a gateway into the deeper life, to a life of service, a life of the supernatural, a life of spiritual surprises. I think I can sum it up this way. And the pastor said it last week. I took a lot of notes last week. He said, there is one baptism in the Holy Spirit, but there are many refillings. Amen? Amen. Amen. So this is a gateway. And so follow us as we go through the gateway, as we discover, develop, and deploy our spiritual gifts. And so tonight, my part of the series is looking at the spiritual gifts found in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And I think we may have them up there. And that's, do we have the list? If we do, that's fine. If we don't, okay? So these are the ones that I will be preaching on over the next several weeks. The spiritual gift of prophecy. The spiritual gift of ministry or serving. The spiritual gift of teaching. The spiritual gift of exhortation. The spiritual gift of giving and of ruling or leading and of mercy. Now, the pastor, if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, now what I just read is the ministry gifts. Okay, and 1 Corinthians 12 is the manifestation gifts. We have the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the faith, healing, miracles, discernment of spirits, tongues, and interpretation. Now, you may say, well, what is the difference between the two? All right, think of the manifestation gifts versus the ministry gifts. So the manifestation gifts of 1 Corinthians deal with the moment. The ministry gifts deal with life. One is a surprise. The manifestation gifts are a surprise. But the ministry gifts deals with study. Let me explain it further. The manifestation gifts, the Holy Spirit is working in you. And then the ministry gifts, the Holy Spirit is working through you. And the manifestation gifts, we're talking about special things at special moments. The ministry gift is practical things. Think of it like this. The manifestation gifts can be likened to the emergency. 911, SOS, ER. The ministry gifts is rehab, the journey, the process. You see what I'm saying? The manifestation gifts are an event, a moment. The ministry gifts are a process. So they don't compete with each other. They complement one another. And that's why we need to go through the gateway, because God wants you to be a difference maker. God has called us to make a difference. God has called this church to make a difference. God has called this body to make a difference. God has called you to make a difference. So with that in mind, let's go through the gateway and let's look in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And I'm going to lay a foundation before I get into the ministry gifts proper. So let's look at the preceding verses that will bring us up to that. Romans chapter 12. Would you stand with me tonight? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Don't you love the word of God? Yes. The spiritual gifts. I like the gateway up there, the golden or the arch over in St. Louis. Anybody ever seen that in real life? Yes. I've never seen it. I may go see it in a few weeks. Who knows? I don't know where we're going to go. We're taking a road trip and we'll be back in a couple weeks. So, all right. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. If you're there, say amen. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly as he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. So there's different gifts. Whether it's prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. On he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. And he that showeth mercy, with children, with cheerfulness. Oh, Father, tonight, bless the reading of your word. May we flow, may we function, may we feel, may we impart the spiritual gifts as we go through the gateway, God, for greater things. And we'll give you the praise for it. And everybody said amen. Turn around and tell somebody, you are a difference maker. You can be a difference maker. And you may be seated. In our text tonight, God is urging us. I'm going to repeat that. God is urging us to make a difference. Now, if you go back to Romans 12 and verse 6, it says here, and the reason he is urging us to make a difference in Romans chapter 12 and 6 is because we are having gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. Let's leave that up for a moment. This scripture tells me that we have gifts. Yes. Say amen. Amen. I have gifts. You have gifts. We have gifts. And this tells me we can make a difference. If we have gifts, they're not given to sit on the shelf. They're given to make a difference. Notice it says, having then. This is in the present. This is now. Every individual in the body of Christ, every individual in this room tonight has spiritual gifts or giftings. Go to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Go to Acts 2 and 3. I never realized this. The other day this thought just came to my mind. I don't know what I was doing. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And what? It sat upon each of them. That spiritual gift, those tongues, that gateway is for every individual person in the body of Christ. Now go back to Romans 12 and 6. It says we have different gifts. Say amen to that. Amen. You have one gift, I have another. No one has all of the gifts, but the gifts they do have can have all of them. And it's not natural talent. What I'm going to talk about in the practical side, in the ministry side, we're not talking about natural talent. Now, it may be close to it, but it's beyond natural. We're talking about supernatural. I'm going to explain that a little later in this message. Go back to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. I'll go to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1. Because Paul plainly said, he said in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, I do not want you, concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. When it comes to spiritual gifts, so many are ignorant. They don't know. They don't apply themselves to know. But not only are some people ignorant, some people know about the spiritual gifts, and they've gone from being ignorant to letting the gifts be dormant. And you know, that's not right either. I don't care if you know about tongues, interpretation, and tell me the doctrine. Not only be ignorant, but don't let the gifts be dormant. They were there to be used. They were there to flow. They were there to function in the unction and the power and to make a difference. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. We want to see lives changed. I don't want us to be ignorant. I don't want us to get our gifts to be dormant. I want our gifts to be rampant. Amen? When we do, lives are changed. Hello. When we flow in the gifts and operate in the gifts, lives are changed. Destinies are altered. The church grows internally. And even better, the church grows externally as we go into the world, because the gifts are not just for the four walls, they're for the four corners of the world. You see, we become difference makers. Now, I want to give you four things tonight in regards to Romans chapter 12 and the ministry gifts, four things that I've pulled verse by verse through this text tonight to bring us up to those gifts the next time that I preach. Number one, I want us to consider a sacrificial presentation. A sacrificial presentation. Go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now notice, you can underline this in your Bible. I beseech you. Do you know what it means to beseech someone? It means to plead with them. It can read like this. I plead with you. by the mercies of God. Present your body. And since Paul is writing for God, it's almost as if God is on his knees, in a sense, in front of us, begging us, beseeching us. In fact, someone said this is God's prayer for us. Now, we pray to God. But have you thought that God might be praying to you? We say, God, clothe me, touch me, heal me, deliver me. And God is beseeching you, praying to you, flow in those gifts. Present your body. I have more for you. I've got to work for you. You can make a difference. I beseech you. I urge you. Don't just sit on the premises. Stand on the promises and charge hell with the water pistol. Hallelujah. And don't be the church sitting down. We're the church militant. Amen. And the church militant will be the church triumphant when we make a difference through the Spirit. A sacrificial, we got to sacrifice. Somebody say amen tonight. Now, those Jewish believers that he was writing to understood. Somebody say sacrifice. They knew what Paul was talking about when he said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You and I are Americans and European descent and other nations of the world. We were not Jewish descent, not anybody that I know of over here. But they understood the animal sacrifices of the old. And just like they had animal sacrifices, Paul is saying we are to have living sacrifices. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, there's a couple of differences. Those animal sacrifices, they didn't go voluntarily. They had to take those bullocks, and the sheep, and whatever else, the heifers, whatever. Those things had to be brought against their will. But Paul is saying, I don't want you to be a forced sacrifice. I want you to be a willing sacrifice, a living sacrifice. You know, we think of Abraham laying Isaac on the altar. We always talk about Abraham laying Isaac on the altar. But have you ever thought about Isaac willingly laying on the altar? You never read where Isaac fought. You never read where Isaac pleaded. Isaac, oh God, Isaac just, he said, okay, daddy, if you've got that faith, I've got that faith. You can sacrifice me because I'm willingly laying down my life. Oh, friend, that's what God wants us to do. If you want to make a difference, and Abraham and Isaac, brother, they made a difference for ages to come, even to this day. Oh, the difference makers are people that sacrifice and give and lay down that, well, I don't like it like that. Well, sacrifice it. Well, sacrifice it, glory to God. Well, it's not my idea. Sacrifice it, glory to God, and let God make you make a difference. Amen. And you know those Old Testament sacrifices. Y'all still love me? Yeah. All right. Those Old Testament sacrifices, I just learned this. I didn't never know this. But it had, on the altar, you know, when they bloodied those sacrifices, sometimes they would tend to slip a little bit. You know, there was probably a gradient on that altar that allowed the blood to drain. And so they actually put flesh hooks, a couple of flesh hooks on the altar to actually hold the sacrifice down. Are y'all with me tonight? There were two hooks on the altar to hold the sacrifice down while they were getting ready to burn it, to keep it from slipping off the altar. Oh, my Lord. And we are to be living sacrifices, tied down, so that we don't slip off the altar. Do you know why so many people leave the church after they're saved? Do you know why so many Christians are not effective? Do you know why there's so many of us that are not making the difference we can? I'll tell you why. Because we're not tied down. Oh man, we're slipping off the altar. We're not tied down. It's good to be tied down to responsibility in the church. It's good to be bound to teach a class sometimes. It's good to have to come in and do the sound system and do the sound check. People are like, well, I don't want to be bound and I don't want to take on the burden. What's going to happen is you're going to slip off the altar. If you want to make a difference, brother, you're going to have to be a living sacrifice, and you're going to have to be willing to be tied down. You're going to have to be willing to give up your rights, your feelings, your thoughts, and say, Lord, whatever I can do, Lord, tie me down. I don't want to slip. This is an urgent hour. The home gates are rising up, and Christians are sitting down and going to amusements, and nothing wrong with that, but that's all they do, and going up to here and going down there when we need our seats filled in the church. Never miss church service. Never miss the time to serve him. Get tied. Be an usher. Be a greeter. Send out a postcard. Teach a class. Get tied down. Be a member in particular and be a difference maker. Well, preacher, you're being awfully hard. No, I'm telling you, the church can do amazing things. When we come together, we can make a difference. Wilbur Chapman was a great evangelist, and he asked General William Booth. William Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. He said, "General Booth, what is the secret of your life?" And if you ever know anything about William Booth and the great man that he was and what he did in London, and "General Booth, what is the answer to this? What is the secret of your life? Why is it that God has so used you?" And General Booth just took his hand and drew back that lock of white hair. He thought for a while, and then this is what he said. He said, "God has had all there is of me. There have been men of greater brains, greater opportunities, but I, from the day I had a vision of what God would do for the poor old London," by the way, that's where the Salvation Army began, in London, "when I had a vision of what God would and could do for poor old London, I made up my mind that God would have all of me, all that there is of William Booth." Have you ever really said that to God? Have you ever really lately, recently, maybe even daily, said, "God, you can have all of me. A-double-L. I'm all in. Here I am. I present myself a living sacrifice. I'm expendable. All my plans, all my goals, all my possessions, I sacrifice them willingly and livingly to be a difference maker." If you do tonight, give him a hand of praise here tonight. Oh, we're on our way to the gateway and through the gateway. Hallelujah. It takes a sacrificial presentation. I know the gifts make you feel good, but I'll tell you, brother, they'll make you do good as well. Amen? Not only do we have when you read through this text, as you get to the gifts, not only notice a sacrificial presentation, but number two, a spiritual transformation. Somebody say transformation. Because, brother, when you do like William Booth and you say, "God can have all of me," I'll tell you what, you'll have a transformation. You'll have a transformation. Look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do you really think Pastor Jerry Nelson or Pastor Ricky Nims or any other preacher, do you really think that we're that good? We're not. I promise you. Not a pastor is, but definitely not me. I'm telling you, sometimes I'll come home and I'll say, "Lord, who preached tonight? It was Ricky, but it won't Ricky." Can you get that? Why? Because there's been a transformation. I said God doesn't necessarily, it's not natural talent. It doesn't mean I don't have some talent, but it goes beyond natural talent. It's supernatural talent. Somebody say amen. Because verse 2, Romans 12 and 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable." And it sounds like to me, you're a difference maker. What is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God? The word transformation is the word metamorpho. We know that. We've heard that. Metamorphosis. You know what that word metamorphosis is? It's what the caterpillar goes into a cocoon, and he goes through a metamorphosis, and he goes in an ugly caterpillar, but he comes out a beautiful butterfly. He goes in slinking on the ground, about to be stepped to fly away. Oh, glory, flying away. Amen. That's what God wants to do through his body. He wants to change us. In fact, it's the same thing when Jesus was transfigured before them on the Mount of Transfiguration. It said he shone. In other words, he metamorphosized. He literally glowed with the brilliance of God. And that's what the Lord, he wants to transfigure us. He wants to transfix us. He wants us to make a difference. And I know you're not altogether what you think you can do, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But I'm just here to tell you, it's not about you anyway. It's the Lord working through you to change you. These gifts are given by grace, not by works, not because you've got a position on the town council, or not because you've got a family that's prestige. No, those are grace gifts. God just looks at you and says, "Hey, I'm going to take Saul and grace him and make him the Apostle Paul." He does the transformation. I had an example that I thought in my mind of a preacher that you know that I knew since I was 10, 11 years old. His name is Steve Edmondson. How many of you know Brother Steve that pastors the West Wilson Church of God? Yes. Well, what you don't know and what I know is that he came to an old... I wish Carolyn Edwards was able to hear this, because Carolyn was a part of my grandmother's church. And she would have every third Saturday night was a gospel sing. And so Steve Emerson came with a group of singers. And I'm telling you, my grandmother took him in, and he fell in love with my family. And I remember when I was 11 and 12 years old, he would walk like this. He would, "How you doing, Brother Steve?" "I'm doing fine." He talked drug. Y'all don't know this, but I know this. And I remember they said, "Well, he's going to be a preacher." And I remember at Vic's Chapel, Pentecostal Holiness Church, he was going to have a revival. And I thought, okay, whatever, you know, I was going to church. And I remember Brother Steve got up to the pulpit, and all I ever heard him was, "Hey, how are you? I'm fine." Oh, he was, but when he got in that pulpit, I sat there, my eyes got open, and he began to preach, and he had words, and he had unction, and I just sat, and I was like, "Is that the same?" And when he got back home after church, "Hey, Brother Rick." I'm like, it just, and I'm not telling you the boy preached, but he began to get booked for revivals and revivals and revivals. And man, with my grandmother and me, we would go to Pentecostal Holiness Church. I learned the North Carolina Conference, not through Falcon, but through Steve Emerson. And he'd go preach his heart out. We would shout, run the aisles, people get saved. And on the way home, "Well, I think I'll have a Coca-Cola." You know? Oh, he transforms us. Hallelujah. It's not by might nor by power when you go through the gateway. Oh, a spiritual transformation. And God continues to use our friend, Brother Steve Emerson. Amen. Not only a spiritual transformation, not only a sacrificial presentation, but notice a solemn consideration. Go to point number 3, a solemn consideration, because he wants you to think about this. He's like, "I'm urging you, I'm beseeching you for your good, for God's glory, to be a difference maker." Go to verse 3. "For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of yourself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly or solemnly, or with an even mind, according as God has dealt to every man." Notice that word "think." Somebody say "think." Think. One of the reasons people are not making a difference is they just don't think they can. Right? And so you got to think. You got to think right. Now, here's two things that you see in this passage. He says, number one, don't think of yourself more highly than you should. Now there is a tendency sometimes. You got to have a balance. There's some people that get gifts, and they have gifts, manifestation gifts, ministry's gift, and instead of it staying in their heart, it'll go up to their head. They begin to get proud. They begin to boast. And they know they're gifted. And God gifts them and uses them for a long time until the anointing leaves. And then they just go through the motions like Samson. And that happens. So if you've got gifts, and you know you've got gifts, then he's saying, be humble about that. In other words, realize that if you didn't have the breath in your lungs, you couldn't do anything. And if God didn't get you up this morning, you'd have been in the bed now and gone on. Don't think too highly. If you've got a great gift in your life, and don't become unsubmissive. Don't become an island. Don't become a show-off, a braggadocious. Don't become a one-man band. In fact, everything about these gifts says we are not a one-man band. We are a symphony. We work together. You have a part. I have a part. Now, there's authority in the church, and there's order in the church. But even in that, there is a plurality of gifts, and God is working for His glory. Can you say amen? You can't be like the mosquito on the elephant when they crossed the drawbridge, and it clanked and clanked and swang and clanked, and finally the elephant got across the wood drawbridge, not the drawbridge, but the wood bridge, not a drawbridge, but the wood bridge, and it was high up there, and you know what I'm talking about, and the mosquito was riding on the elephant's back, and as soon as and it swung and it made all those noises. And when it got on the other side, the mosquito whispered in the elephant's ear and said, "Boy, didn't we make a lot of noise? Didn't we make a lot of things shake and move?" And I'm telling you, if you get prideful, and you're like that mosquito. It's not you that gets people saved. It's not you that gets people healed. Amen now. It is the Lord's, and it's His gifts, and He can give them and He can take them back. Now, I know the gifts and calling are without repentance unto God. He can take them back on hold, and He can keep you from functioning in them and close doors. You may still have the gift, but it don't no good if you're sitting at home watching TV. Can I get a witness out here? So don't be prideful, but notice, I think the problem is not, in particularly in our church, I don't think the problem is sinful exaggeration. I don't think it's that you're being too prideful. I think there's also a false humility as well. Amen. If you're not to think more highly of yourself, the other side is you're not to think more lowly of yourself. Oh, I can't teach. I can't sing. I can't. Now, some of you probably can't sing. Now, that might be a truth. All right. You know, if you're not... can't sing. Now, that's for you to determine. Don't ask me if you can sing or not, but you make a joyful noise. Amen. But some people can and some people can't. Amen. It's just, that's not your gift. Come on. Don't be upset. Don't bother. I'm just a mailman. I'm delivering the mail. Here, you know, this. But some people are like, well, I can't this and I can't that. It's not that you can't. It's probably because you just don't want to. That's false humility. Come on now. There's a sin of being too proud, and then there's that sin of being falsely humble. To say, you know, woe is me, I'm unworthy, I can't do it. It's as bad as saying, look who I am. Saying that you have a gift is not pride. Saying that you don't have a gift is rebellion, because you do. You think honestly about what you have. To deny your grace gift is not humility, it's unbelief and rebellion. It's not that you don't have gifts, it's that you're not wanting to use them, because it does require time, it does require humility, it does require sacrifice. It costs something to make a difference. And if God has given you that gift, use it. Bless others with it. Don't hide it. You can do it. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? God has put in you gift, and we're going to talk about those gifts I put on the board there. We're talking about the manifestation, the ministry. Don't tell me, well, oh, woe is me, I'm not worthy enough. You are worthy enough. God called you. Don't come up with false humility. Say like Isaiah, here I am, Lord, send me. And I'll tell you, you'll make a difference for teenagers, young people, the church of the living God, and we'll do mighty exploits in the mighty name of Jesus. Give Him a hand of praise if you want to be a difference maker. I think about old David Ring, who has cerebral palsy, and he walks like this and talks like that, but he's a preacher. And he's like, I have cerebral palsy. What's your excuse? And then he comes and he says, quit your belly aching. Talking about your belly aching, all right? Use those gifts. And don't come up with some false humility that you can't. You're a child of God. Hey, I'm going to read this to you. You are a gifted child. Alexander the great conquering general, one time gave a beautiful priceless golden cup to a lowly servant. I'm going to repeat that. This great general gave a beautiful priceless golden cup to a lowly servant. When the servant saw the gift, he said, oh, no, that's too much for me to receive. I'm just a lowly servant. The great general said, it is not too much for you to receive, because it's not too much for me to give. Hallelujah. You've got a gift from a great king. Hallelujah. Don't think you're too low to receive it. He is the great God who's not too much to give it. Amen. There's a sacrificial presentation, spiritual transformation, a solemn consideration, and then finally, a shared participation. Somebody say shared. Go to verses 4, 5, and 6, Romans chapter 12, and I'll try to bring this to a close tonight. I want to time it just right for all those kids to get in here. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. If you're there, say amen. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, And everyone members of one another, everyone members of one another, everyone members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. So Romans chapter 12 starts with your body. Amen? And then it goes to his body. And then it comes to everybody has those gifts, right? Personal, corporate, and then everyone. Now, we need to learn here that when we present ourselves to Jesus, we are also presenting ourselves to one another. There's a shared participation. When you belong to Jesus, you belong to me. And when I belong to Jesus, I belong to you. Remember that the church is his body. It is not an organization with Jesus Christ as the president. It is a body with Jesus Christ as a head, and we're members of that body. Everyone's gift is not as obvious as someone else's gifts, or prominent. Of course, the preaching gift, the prophesying gift, like we're going to talk about next week, or the prophecy manifestation gift, or the gift of healing, those are prominent gifts. But that doesn't mean just because they're a prominent gift that they're the better gifts than other gifts. Now, it's according to the need at the moment. If you don't need healing, the gift of healing is not the prominent gift at that moment. But if you're sick, that's a prominent gift. Can I get a witness out here? And so it is with the body of Christ. Everyone's gift is not as obvious. I mean, when you're looking at me tonight, what you're seeing is my head working and my lips are working. My mind has to be working, or I couldn't do this tonight. You're seeing the evidence of my brain. You're seeing the evidence of eyesight. You're seeing the evidence of my body. But you're not seeing my liver right now, are you? I hope to goodness you're not. If you do, we better call 911. And you better come over here, Pastor, I invite you to come and pray over here. Amen. You're not seeing my liver, are you? You didn't even thought about my liver. But as the pastor said last week, somewhere you said it, I can't remember. That's why they call it the liver, because you can't live without it. So the liver is as important in a lot of ways as these other things in a different way. And so everyone is important. Can you say amen? And so if that liver's not functioning, then the rest can't function. And you see, that's how important it is for you to develop, to discover, and deploy, as Bishop Unward said, those three. I love those three. You develop and discover. And then not only discover the spiritual gifts, but develop them. If you're a teacher, you need to study. If you're a preacher, you need to pray. If you have the grace gift of giving, you need to invest well and learn those things and put your mind to it and use wisdom. And we're to discover and develop. And bless God, we're to deploy our spiritual gifts. We're not just to sit on the premises. We're to stand on the promises. And I tell you, there are people who are doing things in this church right now that you're not even aware of. Because there's a shared participation. Each gift is given to perfect the full body of Christ. And if you're not fulfilling, I don't care who you are, if you're a member of this church and you're not fulfilling the purpose for which God put you in this body, you're actually hurting the body. Are y'all with me here tonight? I said there's people doing things that you don't see, but you see when they don't do them. Can I get a witness? Somebody's got to cut the grass. Somebody's got to trim the hedges. Somebody's got to clean the facility. Somebody's got to prepare the lessons. While we were in here tonight singing just over in the glory land, there was people out here in the field doing something you didn't see. But is it less important than here? No, we are a shared part of the body of Christ. God has put, somebody asked me the other day, they said, how many active members do you have at Westmoreland? I said, they're all active. Some of them are building us up and some of them are tearing us down. They're all doing something. Oh yeah, think about that.
You're either building us up by participating or you're tearing us down by inactivity and false humility, which is an affront to the faith. Listen, you've got to do it because God, He's given you faith. He's given you special abilities. He's gifted you. He is a great general. He has given you a gift and a passion and a desire. Use it. Flow in it. Let God. And I'll tell you, we will seize opportunities. We will be the church that Wilson is making a difference. How many of you want us to make a difference? Somebody say amen. Amen. God put you in this body as it pleased Him, and there is to be shared participation. Nobody has all the gifts. Everybody has at least one of the gifts, and we are dependent upon each other. Come on, lock arms with somebody next to you. Listen, God made us different. Did you know everybody's different? God made us different. Why? That He might make us one. Stand with me tonight. Are you locked with your brother and sister? Come on down. Let's come on down to the altar tonight. Praise the Lord. You might get home before 8:20 tonight. Amen. I know it's the summer. But come on down tonight. I want to show you something. This is powerful. How many of you wanting to go through the gateway? And you want God to use you? I'll tell you, this is the greatest thing that we're missing. We can't be inactive. We must be active. Are you locking arms with people? Can I borrow your chain, Pastor? Ooh, oh, I won't. I can't tell you how much this chain has brought faith to my life. You'll get that later on. Look, after the tomahawk, somebody shout glory. Now, for those of you that are just coming in, Pastor Nate, come on up. I need you up here, brother. Run on up here, brother. There you go. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're talking about the spiritual gifts. Now, listen to me. Every one of you, young people, listen to me. Every one of you, God has given you a gift to use. He's going to use you. Tammy, He's going to use you in ways that you can only imagine. God has gifted you. Brother and sister Smith, God, are you coming to the play? You want to preach? No, I'm just kidding. No, you can stay down there if you want to. Well, stay up here since you're here. Come on up. Come on up. I'll use you. But listen. Do you know what this chain? Look at this chain. Just look at this chain. Now look at this chain. You know what this I think of? I think of this link here as a zero. It's a bunch of zeros. That's a zero. That's a zero. That's a zero. That's a zero. Now, if you take one of these zeros out, it ain't going to do a whole lot. But if you put this zero with this zero and this zero, here, take the other end of that chain. Now, on the other end. Now, you see that? That chain, oh glory, I'm about to run, is a bunch of zeros, but when a bunch of zeros get together, brother, we can pull some weight. Hallelujah. I don't mean that wrong, brother, but we can pull me, brother. I'm heavier than you are. See that? See what a bunch of zeros can do? Listen, you're not even a zero, but sometimes you think you're a zero. But brother, when we get together with pastor and deacons and church members, come on, link up together. Link up together. We're going to pull some weight. We're going to rescue the perishing. We're going to care for the dying. We're going to grow and grow. We're going through the gateway. Now lift up your brothers and sisters' hands all together. We are a body. Come on, brother. All together. All together. Amen. Now give Him a mighty hand of praise. Give Him a mighty hand of praise. Don't let the devil tell you, well, if you are a zero, hook on up with some others and we can do some great things. Amen.
Glory to God. Where's Brother James Selvage? Where's James? Come up here, Brother James. Brother Billy Lewis, come on up here. I'm going to show you how it works. He's talking about body ministry. I came in this evening, and the trash can was at the road. I took the trash can, and I was pulling the trash can to put it where it belongs. Brother James Selvage, who's in the body, come up and said, Pastor, let me do that. Okay? He just took it from me. He put it where it belongs. I would have done it, because I promised the Lord. I said, you heal me, I'll do anything that's required. I go out to the Royal Ranger for it because I wanted to check the air out there. And when I looked, there were spider webs all down the front. So I went in there, and I got me a broom, and I came outside. Now, I'm going to come in here, but before I get in here, and Brother Billy walks up, he took my broom, and he swept the cobwebs away. That's how the body is supposed to function. Now, I can do it. I'm young and I'm strong. I promise you that. Glory! Woo! But when the body starts functioning together, and if you see something, then, you know, ask me, can I do that?
Hallelujah.
I guarantee you, I'll give you an assignment. Don't wait for me to ask you. Say, can I do that? And realize that, as Pastor Ricky, some of you weren't in here, but we're talking tonight about body ministry gifts. And that every member in particular has a function. And you may not think your function is very important. He just bring you up to date on what he was preaching tonight. But all of us working together as the body, the eye cannot say to the ear, I have no need of you. The foot cannot say to the head, I don't need you, or to the hand, I don't need you. But everything is important. I got my big toe. You know you cannot walk without your big toe. I cut my big toe off. It was hanging by the meat. And I'll tell you about the manifestation gifts. I'm going to connect it with that. I wouldn't have had that toe. It was the therapy they gave me. They poured kerosene oil over my toe. That's what they. That was the antiseptic. They took some sugar and packed the sugar around that to stop the bleeding. And a bunch of praying women, my mother and some other people, prayed, and I still got that toe. The doctor never stitched that toe. And I can't tell which toe was cut, to be honest with you. I've looked and I've inspected it. There's a God in heaven. So we're talking about two types of gifts. Body ministry gifts, that Pastor Rick is doing the series on. The supernatural manifestation gifts that I'm doing. And then we're going to come and put the fivefold ministry gifts in there somewhere. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, preachers. But out of all of this, we're talking about the gateway. Tell them about the gateway, Pastor Ricky.
Amen. In other words, we don't just get the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues and then stop. It's not a goal that you receive and stop. It's a gateway. And that's what we need to do. Go through the spiritual gateway.
And as I was sitting there listening to Pastor Ricky, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, these series are going to complement one another.
Yes, glory.
And so some of you, there will be an impartation made to awaken some body ministry gifts that are in you. We got two vans out there. We got two. We got people to be picked up. If you got a clean driving record and you got insurance, guess what? And if you don't have a record of some sort, and we're going to have to start checking some of that because you can't pick up little kids if you have a record somewhere. All that has to be in order in the body. Guess what? We got two out there, but we got people that are doing things that are maxed out. So we need some body ministry gifts. Pastor Rick is teaching on that. If you would put a handout together, I've got one. I can bring it. We'll get you a handout so you can see these body ministry gifts. One of the greatest gifts in that is giving. I asked the Lord for that gift years ago. I saw it. Might be in 1 Corinthians, Romans 13 and 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. Three of those gifts are there. I asked the Lord for that gift. But I realized something when I asked him for it. If you don't have a $20 bill, I don't even have one, I got a 10. If you don't have a $20 bill or a series of bills that make that, and somebody's stomach is growling, guess what? You can't feed them. And if you don't develop your body ministry gifts, you can't feed the body of Christ.
Amen.
And if you don't develop the manifestation gifts, then they are supernatural as the Holy Ghost wills. But you can learn how to flow into that. I'm excited to see others flowing. But when you see how God does it, how he did it one time, and then you realize, hey, this happened, this happened, this happened, this happened. And then you get that impression from the Holy Ghost. That's when the rest of it is by faith. In other words, you get that impression from the Holy Ghost. It might be. Go by somebody's house and pray for them. Teresa and I went by to see Sister Joan and Brother Bud yesterday. We're on our way somewhere else. But I had an impression. Go. Just go. And when you get that impression, that is the Holy Ghost setting you up. And that gift will start working. Whatever you feel led of the Spirit to do. It's an impartation of the Spirit, but then it's faith and doing. Faith without works is what?
Dead.
It's what?
Dead.
What?
Dead.
Faith without works is dead. So if you don't develop your gift, if you don't take time to do what you can do, your body suffers. Because we are members of the body of Christ. Members in, we have gifts that differ. And God wants you to develop your gift. Pastor Ricky, just sing something for us as worship.
I give
God.
Myself away.
He has a gift
so
to do that.
You can use me. My life. My life is not my own.
My life's not my own.
You are
all with the price.
I give myself.
Give myself to you, Lord.
I give myself.
Of my own
to
will,
you.
I make a living sacrifice.
I give myself away. I give myself away. So do you.